Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. Today I want to spend a few minutes talking about environmentally smart nitrogen, or ESN. You've already heard a good bit about it this morning, but we've had trials scattered across the U.S. this year, and I want to review some of those trials with you, show you what we found, what happened. Okay, so I don't know what happened. I'm still looking at it, but it's not up there. Okay. So we need to remember our goal when we're trying to fertilize crops. What are we trying to accomplish? And the goal with any nutrient program is to supply what's needed by the plants when it's needed in a form that's going to be taken up by the plant or will be converted to that form when needed. We really want to concentrate on the four R's. We want to put out the right source at the right time, the right rate, and in the right place. We've heard a lot this week about enhanced efficiency fertilizers. We know that these are broken into three main groups. We have the inhibitors and the stabilizers. Those are going to protect the nitrogen by slowing the conversion to forms that are the most easily lost. These are things like Agritane and the Nutrisphere. We have the uncoated, slowly available forms. These are going to be slow release of nitrogen that's reducing solubility or slowing a biological or chemical decomposition. These are the things like the methylene urea or urea formaldehydes. And then finally, the coated soluble products. These are things like the sulfur-coated ureas. These are a catastrophic release of the nitrogen. Or a polymer-coated products, the things like the ESN, and that's a controlled release of the product. So a little bit more about ESN. ESN is an enhanced efficiency fertilizer. It's a polymer-coated urea. It's a controlled release form of nitrogen. The way it works is the warmer the temperature gets, the more nitrogen is going to be released. And we'll talk about that a little more as we move into this talk. But it is a 44% nitrogen source. Now, we all know the fate of the fertilizers when we apply them. Our goal is to get as much of this fertilizer into the plant as we possibly can. That's when we're most efficient. We're making the most out of our fertilizer dollar. But we all know that we're going to lose some nitrogen potentially through volatilization, denitrification, or leaching. Now, some of these products that we've talked about will work in certain areas. ESN can protect your nitrogen from all forms of this nitrogen loss. So how does ESN work? If you look at the diagram here on the far left, we've got a urea prill that's coated with this polymer-coated technology. Water must move in through this coating. It's going to dissolve the urea inside that prill. As that nitrogen goes into solution, it will start moving back out of that coating. The warmer the temperature is, the soil temperature, the larger that coating expands, the more nitrogen is going to be released. And it's designed to release as the crop needs it. And we'll see a slide here in a minute that illustrates that a little better. But if you look down here in the photos, here we have an ESN granule that's not dissolved. The one above it is partially dissolved. You can still see a little bit of the solid material in there. This one is almost completely dissolved and starting to release. And then on the other side, we have the spent capsules. All of the nitrogen has been released from these capsules, and these capsules will remain in the field for 12 to 18 months before they totally disappear. This is a chart that Dr. Glenn Harris put together several years ago showing the nitrogen needs in cotton. As you can see, the early part of the growing season, we really don't need a whole lot of nitrogen. From emergence up through square, the demand for nitrogen is relatively low. Once we start entering that fruiting period, the need for nitrogen dramatically increases. So what we're trying to do with ESN is to make that nitrogen available at this time of the year when the plants need it the most. It makes sense that if we have more nitrogen available when the plant needs it, that the plant's going to be more able to utilize this nitrogen and convert that to yield that we're looking for. So now I want to talk a little bit about some of the trials we had in 2013 this year. We had locations in Virginia, North Carolina, four locations in Georgia, two in Mississippi that I'm going to report on, one in Arkansas, two in Texas, and one in Arizona that we don't have the data from that one yet, so we won't include Arizona in this trial today. Because of time, I'm not going to have time to talk about each one of these individually. There are a few trials that I want to point out some specific things and bring to light today. This is a trial that was conducted in Southern Virginia, at Suffolk, Virginia. Dr. Hunter Frame did this trial for us. This is a side drift application using 60 pounds of nitrogen. What this slide is illustrating is the blend that we like to use. Ideally, we think we need to put some soluble nitrogen blended with the ESN. That's going to give us some immediately available nitrogen while the ESN is coming online. It takes time for that product to start working. So what we found is a 50-50 blend or a 75-25 blend usually is going to work best at these side dress applications. And Hunter did a good job doing this trial. He's showing exactly what our recommendations are showing with this blend. This is another trial that was conducted at Plymouth, North Carolina. This trial was on some heavier soil with a lot of organic matter. This was one conducted by Dr. Sandy Stewart. This is the average of two nitrogen rates, and the yields were reported as seed cottons. I assumed a 37% gen turn and converted this because everything else was in Lent, so just so we can talk about it all later on. But this slide is showing that ESN yielded higher than the early application, all put out at 3 to 4 leaves. And when you compare it with the late application, where all the nitrogen was put out at the 7 to 8 leaf time frame, it's showing the same yields as that time frame. This is indicating that we are protecting that nitrogen. The nitrogen's still remaining in this system, and we're not losing this nitrogen through the loss mechanisms that we've talked about. This is a study that really caught my attention while I looked at it. Couldn't really figure it out, and visited with Dr. Harris a little bit yesterday, and we think we know what may be going on here. This is a trial that Dr. Glenn Harris did for us this year at the ABAC site there in Tifton, Georgia, one of his three trials he did this year. And he had several other products in here, and we're only going to look at some of these nitrogen sources, but ESN didn't do as well, and we got to talking about the trial and the specifics of the trial. This one location had no nitrogen put out pre-plant, and this was a side dress application, and we're still trying to figure out some exact dates when the side dress was put out, but we know it was sometime between Pinhead Square and First Bloom. But this was not a blend of ESN. This is 100% ESN, so what we're thinking is that the ESN really didn't have a fair chance here. It didn't have any soluble nitrogen, and then as late as the ESN was put out, that's going to delay it even further. So we probably just starved these plants a little bit for nitrogen in this situation. So that goes back to the blends that we talked about earlier. If we had some soluble nitrogen in this blend with the ESN, results may have looked a little different on this. Now, at a meeting a few months ago, I got accused of cherry-picking data and only showing part of the data and everything. So, Bobby, this is one of your trials. 39 data points across there. So that's the whole story. Y'all pick out the differences if you want to. But when I did this, I kind of did it as a joke. But when you get to looking at that, you can see the yellow bars are the urea, the green bars are the ESN, and you can kind of see some trends there. The average of those yellow bars is going to be about 2,300 pounds of lint. Look at the green bars. About half of those go above that line. So whether it's a good treatment or the way we recommend using ESN or not, about half of those ESN treatments are above that 2,300 pound line. Now, to go back and start cherry picking that data out of there, Bobby, we're gonna look at the 90 pound rate, and I'll show you a little bit about why I chose 90 pounds here in a few minutes. Wayne's already alluded to it a little bit, but we looked at the 90 pound rate at side dress. So that's when we think it's going to match up best with the need for nitrogen in the cotton, and we see it kind of starting to be a stair step response there with the increasing amount of ESN. Now, the 66% ESN blend, we don't really understand what's going on here. Bobby's going to go back and look at that, but he did say there's a bad area in the field, and we're going to go back and look and see where these plots were, but that's not what we've been seeing in these trials in the past. So try to figure out what's going on with that one blend. This is all the locations, starting with Virginia and working our way around. We had 11 total trials here. And what I did, I went in and took the ESN treatments and compared those with the urea treatments in each of these tests. And in all but two of these locations, the ESN did do better than the urea. The one location we already talked about in Georgia, and we think we know what happened there. And then a location in Arkansas, they were essentially the same yields. I think the ESN won by a pound or two of lint, but essentially the same yields there. But when we averaged it across all 11 of these locations, we came out with a 50-pound lint increase, an advantage for the ESN. So that's just a lint advantage. We're still trying to collect a lot of data on fiber quality and gen turn and that kind of stuff, trying to collect some more of that data and figure some more stuff out on that. But one thing Bobby's been working on lately is looking at risk and reward in some of these trials. Now, this is an individual trial he did last year for us, but it kind of shows what we're trying to illustrate. On the x-axis here, we're looking at returns at loan. This is net of harvest and treatment costs. So this is basically what the grower is going to get paid for. And then on the y-axis, we're looking at the standard deviation. So the way the economists are explaining this graph to us, if you're going increasing on that y-axis, the bigger the standard deviation, the more risk you're going to have. And of course, the higher you go on the x-axis, the greater your reward's going to be. So ideally, we want to be up here in this upper left quadrant. That's going to be your lowest risk and your highest reward. Well, I've been looking at this data for a year now, trying to make sense out of it, Bobby, and it had some other stuff in here too. We had to remove some of the other treatments that we really weren't interested in, just to look at the ESN and urea. But the first thing that pops up, and I know it's kind of hard to see all these numbers and the actual treatments, but you look in that lower right quadrant, that's the most risk for the least reward, and all three of those are ESN. But you really get to looking at those, and it makes sense, Wayne. Can you see the rate on all of those? Every one of those is 120 pounds of nitrogen. That shows me that we are putting out too much nitrogen. A lot of risk at that rate for too little reward. When you get up here where you want to be in this upper left quadrant, we're looking at rates from 60 to 90 pounds of nitrogen, and that's for ESN or for the urea. So I think we need to be looking at some of these lower rates of nitrogen. But as you can see, the ESN really looks good, especially in this one test, and I'm hoping we're going to be able to get this kind of data for all of these trials that we're doing across the belt this year. I think that'll help us do a better job telling this story of the risk versus the reward. Just to sum up how we like to use ESN, we can use ESN as a total pre-plant nitrogen management. That may not be the best way to do it, but it, certainly as we move further north, that works better. We can use it as a side dress or top dress applications, and we have different ways that we like to do that. And some people still like to use a split nitrogen application strategy. We're going to look at that. And we have a new idea that we're going to start evaluating next year, putting more ESN out early and then coming back with some soluble nitrogen later on. So different ways that we may want to look at this. So if you're interested in using ESN, come talk to us. We have a way that we can use it that's going to fit into your program. Some of the benefits that we're seeing with ESN, we're looking at increased yields and profits. We did see an increased yield in 9 of the 11 trials compared to urea. We're demonstrating the increased profits. We're reducing the number of applications in some cases. Wayne talked about that. One application at planting, we can save money and time, labor cost. And we have a convenient application window because of the controlled release characteristics. We can put this nitrogen out over a broader window and buy ourselves some time in the field that way. So that concludes what I have. I have just a few seconds left according to the clock for some questions. Anybody has any questions, we'll be happy to answer them. Yes, sir.
What kind of percent drop in rates did you use to get the same basic rate of nitrogen so that you could justify the extra cost?
Okay, I believe what you're asking is can we reduce rates with ESN? And we have found that we can reduce some rates, but we've also found that by reducing rates, we're sacrificing yield on the back end. If we keep our rates of nitrogen the same, we're showing increased yields that will more than make up for the extra cost of the ESN. So ESN is probably on the high side. We can say 20 cents a unit nitrogen higher, and if we roughly figure 80-cent cotton, it doesn't take a whole lot of cotton to pay for that extra increase in nitrogen. Any more questions? Yes, sir.
You showed earlier about the capsules, the partial and all that, and you were showing the wind stuff, or I guess by putting it out, I guess my vision on that was a little bit late, and didn't have, you know, that's always been a problem, slow release fertilizers. You don't want it to be so late, or put it out so late.
Right.
Are some of the capsules thinner, or is there a blender there, or are they off, or are they...
Well, just in the coating process, some of them are going to get a little different coating. The way the polymers work, it's designed to allow some to take on water and start releasing at a different time period. But I'm not really sure exactly how to answer your question, but some of them are going to work a little better than release a little quicker than others.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.